Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special WrestleMania week edition of Welcome to Samtown. My name is the Sensational Samhausen, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Intimidating Tim.
Hello.
And just joshing you, it's Josh.
Hello.
This week, boys, we've got a very special guest host joining us. It's Producer Rick. Producer Ooh. Rick, how are you today?
Producer Rick, wow, I like that. Thank you guys for having me tonight. I am very excited to be here.
Oh my God, we're excited to have you. You're our first ever guest host.
Yeah, thanks for coming over.
All right. Man, you've walked through the forbidden door from Pro Wrestling Wire to Slamtown. How does it feel?
It feels amazing. Where's the beer?
Dude, it was BYOB. You didn't get my email?
Damn it. Damn it.
We forgot to add him to the email chain.
I'm over here nursing a zero sugar Dr. Pepper. And you're... Well, as always, we start our episode of Slamtown with our week in wrestling. I know as a collective, all three of us checked out this week's Monday Night Raw because it was the go-home show leading up to WrestleMania. Josh, I know you have some pretty big opinions about the last 2 weeks of Monday Night Raw, so why don't you start us off?
I would just like to say that I think that the last two episodes of Monday Night Raw might be the best back-to-back episodes of Monday Night Raw ever.
That is ever big praise.
Wow.
Very big praise.
How long did Rock and Roman talk for in the uninterrupted commercial-free hour?
It was about.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I think I looked and it said when I looked at the clock and they were like finishing up, it was like 8:25.
Damn.
Those boys do yap a lot.
They do be talking. Oh boy, but yeah, I thought it was a good episode. I saw Gunther attacked Chad Gable during Sami Zayn's match with Bronson Reed.
Yes, he dragged his lifeless corpse out to the stage.
See, that pisses me off because I thought for sure we were getting Gunther Gable 2 at WrestleMania, not this Sami Zayn match. But
yes. I mean, Gable and Zayn did put on an Oscar-worthy performance in their little vignette, I guess.
Like backstage thing?
Yeah, oh, that was fun. Well, yeah. They were at the Performance Center.
Ooh.
It was great. Oh. And I just kind of thought that maybe that, with the kind of the way that they fought at the end, I thought maybe that would lead them into putting Gable in the match.
That would be so cool if, like, because they're talking about how there's a surprise for the opening of night one at WrestleMania. What if it's just, like, Chad Gable gets to be in the match, makes it a triple threat?
It's Drew Barrymore.
What?
No. I know she's supposed to be there. She's supposed to be there, actually. It was announced today that she's supposed to be there. I don't think that she's going to be this big announcement or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I saw some news online, and with anything wrestling-related, I take it with a grain of salt, but they were saying that Ilya Dragunov isn't going to be called up soon, but he'll be called up when he drops the title. And WWE Creative is viewing him the same way they view Gunther. So they're going to push him to like a record-setting title reign and that kind of stuff when he comes main roster. And now it's got the seed in my mind that Dragunov is going to be the guy to take the belt off of Gunther.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, that could be kind of good because their match for the NXT UK title, freaking awesome.
Yeah, you've talked about that match before, I think.
Oh, it's so good. He ended Gunther's title reign. Well, back when he was Walter. But yeah, it was awesome. If they did a rematch of that at like a big pay-per-view or something, that'd be cool.
Speaking of premier live events, if I may, if yes. I could find the tweet, just announced late in the evening. Hold on. Still scrolling. Good Lord, how long ago was it?
We're doing live fact-checking here.
Yep.
Got to make sure all our sources are correct.
Announced late in the evening, Clash at the Castle will be returning Saturday, the 15th of June in Glasgow.
Yo. Ooh.
And the night before, there will be a SmackDown.
Hey, that's pretty exciting.
Isn't that where Drew McIntyre's from?
Indeed it is. I wonder what that could mean.
Yeah, probably no significance.
Winning Sunday night?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the last time they did Clash at the Castle, he was in the wasn't he in the main event for the title, and he didn't win. He didn't end up winning.
He got screwed by Solo Sikoa.
Yeah. Wow. So who knows? Yeah.
There's this like, you know, when you're on Facebook or something, and it gives you like the suggested pages to follow.
Yeah.
There's one of them that's like pro wrestler birthdays, and they post a picture of the wrestler, and then like all their accolades, like across their whole career, that kind of thing. And they did one for Solo Sikoa, and it had a picture of the North American title because he did hold it for like a week. And then the only other accomplishments it listed was interfering in the match at Clash at the Castle.
Oh my gosh.
Interfering in the tag title match at WrestleMania. And it was just all these big interferences he did. And it was just like one title reign and like seven pay-per-view interferences.
World's number one hater.
Oh man. Player
hater of the year?
Hater of the year.
So hard to get into. He doesn't do anything.
He was way better when he was in NXT, I'll tell you that.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
He has done absolutely nothing in on the main roster. It's quite a shame actually, because he's lost more matches than I think he's had in his entire NXT run.
Well, like, last night's match didn't get a decision, and including live events, he's like 0 for his last 30-something since he beat Cena.
Yeah.
What was that?
SummerSlam.
That was at SummerSlam?
No.
Crown
Jewel.
Yeah, there you go. That's what's called Crown Jewel.
More like Crown Fool.
That's what we called that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, and he did, like, 7 Samoan spikes to Cena or something, and then it was, like, over.
Yep.
Ugh. If you're trying to push a big muscle for a faction, don't book him to lose everything.
Not at all.
It's like, they pushed him Monday, and he's got a match Friday. Are they setting him up to turn on Roman on Sunday?
Is he going to win the Andre? Like, what's happening?
Well, he fights Jay on Friday.
Oh, never mind.
On SmackDown, right? Yeah. That's right.
Ooh, we'll be there for that. That's cool.
SmackDown, that will be it. That's SmackDown?
I'm going to yell yeet so loud when Jay comes out.
Oh, we are standing up and doing the farm thing for his entrance? Oh,
yeah. Hell yeah.
He had like, that was like, it was like shortly after he started that when Tim and I were at the live show in Madison Square Garden. And I was like the only one of the three of us that went, that was doing it.
Josh is going ham.
Oh my God. You're going to have to teach this this aging wrestling fan how to do all the cool little dances.
Indeed.
Nah, man. Monday Night Raw, very, very good this week. Ricochet picked up Ivar. That's pretty fucking wild.
Yeah.
For how Ricochet is like built, like his body type, that's very impressive.
Oh my God. Like, I don't think he even did that kind of stuff. Like, when I was first introduced to Ricochet, it was as Prince Puma on Lucha Underground, and he would do like these insane high flying spots, but I didn't know he was that strong.
Man, it's like, he's phenomenal.
He can fly.
I wish that they did like a showcase match with him and some of the other singles competitors, like him, Andrade, Ivar, and Bronson Reed. Like,
ooh, I'd be into that.
Just to have it, maybe even like have it as like a contenders match for the IC title or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good idea.
That'd be great. That would be a really nice last match spot for Mania.
I feel like Ricochet is going to get highlighted like a lot on WWE Speed.
Yeah.
Because before they announced that Speed was going to be that show on Twitter or X, whatever it is, it kind of felt like they were maybe gearing up for like a return to maybe a 205 Live or like a cruiserweight show.
Yeah, I missed that show.
Well, like, I know people have been talking about that. It was like the speed matches were what they were running before, like shows or like during live shows or something like that. And I think this is like, is what we're going to see tomorrow on X, is it live or is it pre-recorded? And like, we've had the entire tournament already to crown the champion.
Yeah. Like, are those tester things they put out the footage? I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I wonder if like Twitter even has like good infrastructure for doing live streaming or not. Like, it'll be interesting to see like that aspect as well.
I've streamed my show live on there as well, like through StreamYard. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. It's like you basically put the keylog in the in the StreamYard, and then you could go live. There you go.
Sick.
Huh. Yeah.
That answers that.
What are we doing?
Pre-recording. Pre-recording.
Anniversary special. Oh man. But yeah, I'm trying to think if I watched anything else. I know a couple of us checked out Collision to see Matt Cardona versus Adam Copeland.
Yeah, I checked out that match. It was really cool. And like,
oh my god,
I know this is a match that Matt Cardona has like wanted for a while. So like that whole aspect of it was really cool too.
Yeah, like I finally made a Twitter, and I was reading a tweet, and it was like, they were talking about how Matt Cardona has stated him versus Adam Copeland is like his dream match. And then at the Tetsuya Joshi show that recently happened, Maki Ito was talking about how her dream opponent was Minoru Suzuki. And then she got to wrestle him at that show. And yeah, it's like,
oh, dreams are coming true. Dreams
are coming true. That's so cool. But
so you're telling me I should tweet I want to date Rhea Ripley and it'll happen?
Yes,
do it. You'd have to fight. No, you have to fight Buddy Matthews first.
I'm in the lightweight. I got this.
I don't know, man. He's gotten ripped since he joined House of Black.
What?
Dude, he's got a nasty knee, I tell you that much.
I don't know what you guys are talking. You guys are delusional. Just Buddy Matthews. Never heard of him.
Oh, sorry. Buddy Murphy from 205 Live? Oh,
sorry.
I really thought they were gearing up for Malakai Black one-on-one with Adam Copeland for the TNT Championship at Dynasty. But then they ended up making it a six-man tag. And I was like, oh, so there's no, like, Copeland's not defending the belt at his first pay-per-view as champion?
Also, they continue to book Aleister Black only in tag matches?
That's true.
Was it him who like hadn't had a singles match on television since like 2021?
I think that sounds correct.
Or was that Kenny Omega?
Kenny Omega's out indefinitely, so okay. I think it's Malakai.
Okay.
But yeah, it's him, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews versus Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe in a six-man tag. Mm. Like, I love Mark Briscoe, but it feels like every pay-per-view they just stick him in a trio, and it's like, okay, I get he retired from traditional tag wrestling because his brother passed away. Mm-hmm. Give this man a singles match. Like,
yeah, what's up with that?
Right. But that was AEW. I thought the match, Matt Cardona and Adam Copeland, was pretty fun. Copeland, of course, retained. Oh, and yeah. I think the only other thing I checked out, I watched MLW War Chamber. It was pretty fun. It was like their version of the War Games match. But normally they hold it in one ring. So it's just a steel cage with like eight guys in it with weapons and everything. But this year they made it two rings and it was pretty enjoyable. It was Team MLW versus Team WTF. The World Titan Federation, and there were some cool spots, and the show ended with the return of the Contra unit, and they just took everybody out.
It was a really good show. I thought that it was perfectly timed at just over 2 hours.
Yeah, and there were a couple like unadvertised matches that ended up happening, and even those were like enjoyable.
And so, that's good, a nice little surprise.
Yeah, and I think Alex Kane is probably one of the most underrated professional wrestlers today.
Oh, it pissed me off that he lost to Top Dollar.
Yeah, yeah, like, but
what the fuck?
You know, they just know where their bread is buttered.
Dude, Top Dollar is showing up everywhere, and it pisses me off because he's not even that good of a wrestler.
No, he's terrible. But
he was in Game Changer Wrestling to fight Joey Janela a couple months ago. Then he shows up in TNA, and he gets Rich Swann to turn on Joe Hendry. And now he's teaming with Rich Swann. They're a group called First Class.
Joe Hendry?
Whoa. Hold on. They're using the First Class name?
Yeah, they're called First Class.
Oh, man. You know, there's a tag team outside of New York called First Class. It's not even them.
Oh, man.
This has happened to many guys that I know that I've worked with in professional wrestling, that their names or gimmicks have been stolen by major companies. Like, there was a team called The Firm, and then all of a sudden, that for years around here in Connecticut, and then all of a sudden AEW had The Firm.
Oh, yeah. And it was like just a weird group to help MJF get that title match.
Right. Yep.
Oh, I remember that. I had the t-shirt.
Hey, that sucks. Got to get some like copyright protection.
Exactly.
Trademark that shit.
Like MJF wasn't even in the group. Stokely Hathaway was just like, "Oh, my guys helped you out." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, that's who it was. I forgot. I couldn't remember.
Stokely Hathaway was like their mouthpiece guy, and then it was before he was Big Bill, W. Morrissey, Ethan Page, Lee Moriarty, and the Guns. Was that it? That sounds right. But it was a very short-lived, very stupid group. But I think that about wraps it up for our week in wrestling. But let's move on to the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes of this episode.
The main event.
The previewing of the WrestleMania cards. Night one and night two, gentlemen.
Ooh. So it looks like we got 7 matches so far for night one. And that can 6 change. For night 2. And yes, card subject to change. Never forget.
Always.
All right, so I'm going, I don't know if these are in any order or anything, but I'm just going down from what I see here. But it looks like the first one on the list here is the singles match for the Women's World Championship, which will be the champion Rhea Ripley defending against Becky Lynch.
I'm going with Rhea Ripley retaining.
Oh, same here.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it'll be a good match, though, because I feel like both of them are I enjoy watching both of them wrestle, and I feel like the story that they've been building has been entertaining to follow, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of got soured on Becky Lynch when she ended Tiffany Stratton's NXT Women's Championship reign. Just out of the blue.
That's right, yeah.
So now I'm like, oh, I really don't want to see her with a belt again for a little bit. But like, Rhea's got to win. She's mommy, you know. Like,
yeah,
Rhea's gonna win. I'll put money on that.
Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't think it's time to take the belt off her. She's on like this legendary run.
Right. She's like a female household Roman. Name.
Yeah.
Like she's unstoppable.
I think that one of the big things that'll make this match good. Unless they obviously protect Becky's finisher, Rhea is such a so good at selling that we'll finally have someone good to sell the manhandle slam, because a lot of the girls do not sell it that good.
Right.
But like, Rhea is a phenomenal seller. My key example is her taking the Z360 at Crown Jewel last year. Looked like she got shot in the back of the head, and it was one of the best sells of the year.
Oh, man.
That's great.
So, I'm very excited for it, but I think mommy's always on top. So,
yep. Hell yeah, brother. This guy gets it.
All right, so the next up on this list here, it's another singles match, this one for the Intercontinental Championship. And we have the champion, Gunther, going up against Sami Zayn.
I want Gunther to retain. As much as I love Sami Zayn, I don't think he's the guy to take the belt off of Gunther.
Yep, yeah. Feels like a pretty similar position to the first match. You know, Gunther's on this hella long, hella good run. Someone's eventually going to beat him, but I just don't think it's the time or the person.
I do know this much. It's going to be a hell of a match. It's going to be a fantastic match. I think Sammy's one of those guys that can get in the ring and help make anybody look like $1 million. And not that Gunther needs any help looking that way, but he's just going to go out there and these two are just going to shine and put on probably, and I'm predicting, match of the weekend.
Ooh, bold prediction. We love
Gunther's
that.
Gunther's going to have match of the weekend for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Cody and Roman. No, I'm kidding. I think the match of the weekend is going to be Bussy versus Dirty Breeze at the Big Gay Brunch.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
We'll be the only ones to know that, but you might be right.
True. All right, so now the next one here, this is a fun one. So it's a six-pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. However, there's a stipulation there that we can get into after I list off all of these teams here. So first up, we have Judgment Day. After that, we have DIY. Then we have The Awesome Truth. We have The New Day. We have Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I don't know if they have a tag name for the two of them. And then finally, we have the New Catch Republic.
So it's A-Town Down Under.
A-Town Down Under. Oh, yeah. I like that.
That's pretty good.
And so six teams, two belts on the line, and apparently, from what we've been told, both titles are being hung separately, and the match will end after each has been retrieved. So,
yes,
in theory, they could split the belts if two different teams win.
Wow.
Do you think they're going to do a comedy bit where The Miz grabs a Raw belt and R-Truth grabs a SmackDown belt?
Oh, that's a really funny bit.
That's and very possible.
They're like, oh no, which one did we win? And then R-Truth is like, we did it. We won the Elimination Chamber.
Dude, they're going to do something with them, I'm sure.
Oh, it's going to be like, part of me was hoping this was going to be like just a traditional tag match, Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day, but I'd love a big stupid ladder match like this.
Yeah, I mean, 12 people, a bunch of ladders, like a crazy stipulation. Like, there's going to be a lot going on, and you know, usually when there's a lot going on, it's just, you know, turn off your brain and watch some crazy fun stuff.
There is a part of me for the nostalgia that really wants Awesome Truth and The New Day to win the titles separately. Because it kind of just feels like, I mean, Awesome Truth, they're both winding down in their careers, and The New Day is kind of winding down. I mean, I guess The New Day can always still be in it, but at the same time, like, these new tag teams are awesome.
Yeah.
But it would kind of be fun to give these older guys, like older teams, one last hurrah, because
yeah,
like DIY and like New Catch Republic are going to be really good tag teams for years to come.
Like, they are the future.
They're the future. They're really good. So it's like, I don't know. I want to see, like, if I had to pick one of them, I'd also pick The New Day over The Awesome Truth to grab one of the titles.
And R-Truth is 52 years old, so this could be like one final run, like you said, and just give him, you know what I mean?
I forgot he was.
I mean, he's pretty actually old to be a professional wrestler, even. A lot of guys retire in their late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah,
when we did the celebrity wrestling bracket and we talked about Pac-Man Jones winning the tag title back in the day, R-Truth was his partner. And it's like, oh shit, R-Truth's been around that long.
Yeah.
And then they had a third member of Team Pac-Man, and it ended up being that it was like Xavier Woods in his rookie year.
Austin Creed at that time, right?
I think he might have been Austin Creed. It was before he became Consequences Creed.
Right.
Yeah, but it was like R-Truth and Xavier Wood were working together before Xavier went main roster, before New Day, because they put him with R-Truth to fight Rusev. It's like, I didn't know that was like a little reunion of sorts, but
right.
Yeah.
I personally would love to see New Catch Republic win one of these belts, or Theory and Waller.
I have heard rumors that Theory and Waller aren't even going to be in this match.
Really?
What rumor did you hear? Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do?
I've just heard that that there's a theory that they might not be in the match. I don't know who would replace them, because there was a lot of April Fool's jokes, people being funny yesterday. But was even before Hardys? That,
I was just going to say that.
People were saying the Hardys. Although people were saying that before yesterday as well, because Matt was at Raw last week.
He was. Yeah, he was in the VIP box.
Yeah. I don't see that happening. And then, like, other people were joking that say that they think that the Dudley Boys will do it.
Okay, that was the one I saw, was that the Dudley Boys.
Well, you know what they say. The card is subject to change.
And this theory, is it somewhat of an Austin theory? I did see a thing that allegedly, in, like, the, like, internal booking of this match, like, it headquarters or whatever in the writer's room, Pretty Deadly is listed as being in the match.
Oh.
Interesting.
Like, oh, maybe like Pretty Deadly will attack Theory and Waller or something, or
that would make sense, because like I feel like they've helped each other recently. Or like they have a common enemy.
Yeah. Right. It's just weird. It's like, why would you have
neither of them like Orton and Owens?
Yeah, but then like, why would you have Austin or Theory and Waller qualify if you're just gonna like take them out last minute at the show? You know, but
I would love to see. I would love to see Theory turn face and turn on Waller, but I don't know when that'll happen.
Can Theory turn face? That's my question.
It feels like it needs to, because the heel theory ain't working.
Really?
At least for me. I don't know. I see a lot of complaints about.
I just don't think he's. I don't know. I don't think he's babyface material. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Because wasn't he? What was it? Was it the way in NXT?
Yeah.
He was in, and he was face then, and that's what I've seen a lot of people saying they want him to be like that. But then, I think the way was that with Candice and Indy or something?
Yeah, and Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, and like they're not splitting up DIY, and it looks like Candice and Indy are probably going to turn heel. So I don't think the face theory thing will happen. But I'm not a big fan of like what I don't know of his character right now. It's gone downhill since last year's Mania.
Well, like last year's Mania, he was Vince's like golden boy.
That was 2 years. That was two manias ago.
Who did he wrestle last year? I'm trying to remember.
Cena for the U.S. title.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And then like hasn't won since. Like he's also on a losing streak, or not a losing streak, but like a losing record, basically.
My big want for the two of them as a tag team is to form a faction with Logan Paul.
I think that would be cool, but like I don't know, it would backseat Theory at the same time.
It would like, be like the world's douchiest faction.
Oh, for sure.
That would be their vibe.
Is that Prime thing legit? Like, is a big picture of Prime going to be on the mat this weekend?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck?
Number one sponsor.
Cool.
I hope for this match, and I feel like I see it going this way just because this is kind of what they're advertising as, but I hope the belts get split.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I think it's long overdue. We've talked about that.
Everybody likes that.
Yeah. All right.
Used to be a contrarian, not me. I hate that.
How could you?
It adds drama to the podcast.
True. Now we're mortal enemies.
You know what? Don't even bother picking me up at the train station.
Yeah, you can walk to Philly.
No, please do. I'll cry. Anyway.
All right, yeah, so next match, it is a singles match. No titles on the line. We have Uso versus Uso. Jimmy versus Jay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh.
Is this just a traditional one-on-one, or are they going to make this like tribal combat?
So far, I haven't seen anything stipulation-wise. I think it's just one-on-one.
Yeah.
I could see them changing this Friday night. Like,
yeah.
If he interferes, like, if Jimmy interferes in Jay's match versus Solo, I could see, like, Jay calling out Jimmy, like, hey, we're not doing this tomorrow.
Let's do it. Tribal combat, oos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a fun little twist to add.
Because it just feels like, I don't know what it feels like. It's like, it's always interference, and yeah. I'd rather see interference not have to turn into a disqualification.
That'd be nice.
Because we know there's going to be interference. Like, we know Solo's going to interfere in this.
For his big brother.
But it would be nice to not have that end in a disqualification or a ref getting knocked out and not seeing it. It would just be nice to just, like, if Jay's going to get beat up, let Jay get beat up and then continue with the match.
That'd be, yeah, like,
false finish, no, like,
yeah,
like, just.
We already know, like, Solo is going to pull the referee out of the ring in Roman versus Cody. Yep. Like, don't do it in Jimmy versus Jay.
Yep.
Just let them fight it out.
Let them brother beat the crap brother. Out of each other.
I think maybe that.
Have Rikishi run in.
And I'm willing to put money on this. I think that an Uso is going to win this match.
Why did I think of that?
Unless there's a disqualification, at which point I lose big time.
And then neither Uso wins.
Yeah, you should put money on that.
To Vegas I go.
Oh, man. That's funny. That's funny, buddy. I like that.
Thanks, man. I'm here for the jokes and the bits. All right. Next up after that, we have another tag team match. This is a 6-woman tag team match. And we have Damage Control going up against...
Oh. Hold on. I didn't give my prediction for the Uso match.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Rick.
I wasn't paying you.
We thought was going to win.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised because obviously Jay's the big star, but I wouldn't be surprised if they gave it to Jimmy to sorry, I have a son named Jamie. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave it to Jimmy Uso as just like a, you know, to kind of boost him up a tiny bit.
Right, because Jimmy's just kind of been, you know, part of the bloodline, sort of in the shadows of.
He's just floating around a little bit. Yeah. He's not doing anything interesting.
Yeah, like, at least Jey Uso had that, like, 1 week tag title reign with Cody.
Yeah, that was fun.
Also, like, Jimmy hasn't really been doing, like, anything solo. He's still been in a tag team with Solo. He's not a singles wrestler.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like this would be a nice little boost. But I would also like be a backhand slap, I guess, to Roman, because like Jimmy winning puts him towards Roman's good side. But at the same time, I could see Jimmy like regretting what he did by the end,
and
turning towards Jay.
Right. When we get into. Night two, I have more stuff I'd like to predict, I guess you can say.
Ooh.
Sam, how are you feeling about this one?
I don't know. I gotta go with my main. Yeet. Main event. Yay, so.
We gotta vote for Yeet in the chat.
Yeet in the chat. Oh, man. Hey, this, that 6-woman tag, I'm very intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got Damage Control going up against a team consisting of Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi.
Oh man,
this is gonna be a fun one. I feel like they've sort of been building this these three coming together sort of since Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
and man, I think it's just gonna be really great to watch them work together.
I don't think they're gonna make Jade lose this early in her WWE career.
Yeah, hopefully not. That would kind of be a shame.
Yeah.
After hyping her up for what feels like half a year at this point.
Yeah, it feels like it's a very long time, it feels like. And she only made that one appearance. I mean, or the, you know what I mean? Like the Rumble appearance, really. It was like her big thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And plus, too, there's no belts on the line. So, you know, damage control losing, you know, it's not like there's big, you know, ramifications in that sense.
Right.
Remember when the three of us doing our like WrestleMania cards were like, oh, we got to throw in the obligatory women's tag title match they throw together. They didn't throw one together.
Yeah, like no title defense for the women's tag team belt.
No, nope. Just Kabuki Warriors going into the six man with the titles.
This would be a six woman.
Oh, sorry, six woman.
Jeez.
Yeah.
They should just make this for the tankers.
They should. They might as well.
How long have those belts been around for? Because it feels like way longer, but I feel like it's only maybe been like 2 years.
Those women's belts?
Yeah.
Probably about two or 3 years, yeah.
I was going to say pre-2020. I thought they'd been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we can Google.
Check.
I mean, they're acknowledging them. They're like their new belts, but there was a belt in the 80s too. In the 1980s, there was women's tag team belts. So
2018.
Good job.
No fucking way.
Date established. Wikipedia says December 24th, 2018.
That's interesting because I did not.
Bailey and Sasha won it the first time.
Oh, in the Elimination Chamber.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Those both have been around for 6 years. It feels like there's only been like five teams that have held it.
Wow.
Huh. I think Jade and them are going to win this match. And the internet annoys me because the whole time Jade Cargill was in AEW, they were like, she needs more training. And then she leaves to come to WWE. And they don't use her on TV because she's getting more training. And then they were like, they need to put her on TV. She's had enough training. And it's like, what the fuck do you want?
They can never be pleased.
Ugh.
This is true. Wrestling fans are never pleased.
Yeah. That's the worst part about being a wrestling fan.
Yes.
But I'm very excited because I feel like she's going to get a kick-ass entrance. Naomi's entrances are always cool. Bianca's going to have some cool homemade ring gear.
Yeah.
And then anytime I get to see Dakota Kai, because she's so cute, I'm excited. Like, I feel like Jade is going to do, like, maybe cosplay ring gear as, like, Storm or something from X-Men.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
She could pull that off.
Her entrance on last week's SmackDown was so cool with the, like, the line of light that she, like, walked through with the smoke.
Ooh.
That was cool. I kind of hope that they do something on a bigger scale at WrestleMania with that. That would be really cool.
Oh, I heard we're getting the WrestleMania set reveal Thursday?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm really excited. That'll be exciting.
But, okay, I've got Jade, Naomi, and Bianca as my pick.
Same here.
Same here.
Yes. Yep.
It's the unanimous.
That means I'll lose.
Yeah.
We jinxed it.
Can't have good things. Next up, so this is match six so far. So second to last one. It's another tag team match. We have the LWO, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, going up against the team of Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
Ooh. I'm going with LWO on this one. I think it's kind of obvious, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're, you know, trying to build Domino, but he's stuck in that position with, you know, being that Judgment Day guy.
Yeah, and I wonder if Dom is going to come out at all during the ladder match when the Judgment Day is out there and
do anything. About his voice, fears, Damien.
Is this the end of the Judgment Day?
Huh. Oh.
Ooh. I don't know. Josh, I think you're onto something. It feels like they've been teasing either new membership or like something.
Taking people out.
Yeah. I mean, Priest still has his briefcase. He hasn't been doing anything with that. So I feel like
they're going to make him lose with the briefcase, and he's going to get kicked out faster than Edge did.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, so this is my prediction about that regarding that. I guess we should. Can I just say that we should go into the main event?
Yeah, for night one.
So obviously it's Rock and Roman against Cody and Seth. My prediction is that after it's a hell of a freaking match that Damian Priest cashes in or attempts to cash in after. Maybe. Ooh. Might be a little bit of overbooking, but just an opinion. That he comes in and cashes in on Seth.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
That'd be actually. So you're saying you think he wins it, like on that cash in?
Yes. And there's only been like, there's only literally been like two people, maybe three, that have not won on a cash in.
Oh wow!
I can tell you who one of those people is off the top of my dome.
Yeah.
Go for it.
The intellectual savior of the masses.
Yes.
One, Mr. Damian Sandow.
Yes.
Another one.
Cena failed.
John Cena and Austin Theory.
This was back when the Rock. This was like before the Rock and Cena, either the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And Cena had won Money in the Bank. He held it for a while, and then advertised that he was using it to cash it in. It wasn't a surprise. He advertised that he was cashing it in on Monday Night Raw for a match with Punk for the title. And then there was a disqualification in it, and he lost.
Baron Corbin also was one of them.
Yes.
On a mid-card title.
Yeah, U.S. title, right?
Yep. That was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Or last year, I guess.
Yeah, my whole thing with that is I think that why I think he's going to win is, like, I think, like, the main event picture needs a little spicing up, and I think Damian Priest is definitely one of those guys that can, you know, I think they built him for it, and I think that he's really a guy that can take that, you know, take that belt to a new level.
Yeah.
They've been a little lackluster with his build, but yesterday on Monday Night Raw, it just kind of solidified that, like re-putting everybody's mind, like, okay, yeah, this guy can hold a world title. Like, he's dominant.
Right.
And can hold a title. This weekend's gonna suck for Seth Rollins. And he's gonna take the pin in the tag match. He's gonna, and then if what Rick's saying happens, he's gonna lose the title on Saturday, and then he's probably gonna lose again on Sunday.
Well, I mean, geez, you know, now that I think of it, maybe he'll lose after. Maybe he'll beat Drew, and then maybe Damian will cash in. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, that's also, I just think that this is the weekend, because actually it's been, what, don't you have up in a year to cash in the belt? And we're kind of approaching that time.
Money in the Bank pay-per-view to Money in the Bank pay-per-view, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Hit. Clock's ticking, Damian.
My theory was that, like, he's going to walk into Money in the Bank and be, like, still have it, but there's going to be a world title match, like, early in the night. And he's gonna cash in and win, and then get rid of it, and then like be in the Money in the Bank match later in the night as the champion.
Oh man,
that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be like imagine he cashes in just before the Money in the Bank match, wins, goes into the Money in the Bank match, loses, and the guy who wins the Money in the Bank cashes it in on him and takes the title from him.
That's almost as creative as the climbing the corporate ladder Money in the Bank during COVID.
That was very creative. Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, I remember
that was my favorite pay-per-view of lockdown, was Money in the Bank.
Oh, I just remember drinking so much whiskey that night. I don't really going live on the podcast after that, and I don't remember much of the podcast really, other than dropping a lot of F-bombs.
Oh man.
And we had a special guest that night too, like for the very first time. And yeah, man, that was a crazy pay-per-view. Crazy time to be a wrestling fan, I tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Remember this is off topic, but the Wyatt Family Swamp Fight?
Sounds familiar.
It was at, oh god, Josh, you might remember this too. I think it was at Extreme Rules because it was like horror movie themed. Mm-hmm. It was like the Extreme Rules horror show or something. And it was when The Fiend was, rest in peace, The Fiend was Universal Champion, and he challenged Braun Strowman to a match at Extreme Rules, and he was going to like show Braun the monster he once was, and Bray wrestled the whole thing as like Wyatt Family Bray Wyatt.
Hmm.
And he ended up winning because Braun Strowman drowned in a pond, but it was like, what the fuck is this?
That sounds familiar. Yeah, I'd have to go back and watch it. Like I said, weird time to be a wrestling fan. They were doing anything to see what they could do to stick and entertain us, the fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't feel bad or weird saying this. COVID WWE was some of the most creative stuff they had done in years.
100%.
It really was.
Like, entertaining.
Yeah.
The MT Arena WrestleMania.
Oh, that was bizarre. My dad and I still talk about that.
Yeah. I've always, like, lately I've been sitting down trying to say, hey, maybe I should go watch that again and see how bad it really was or how good it might actually be. And I just don't have the balls to put it back on because I'm kind of afraid to, like, I hated it when it happened, but, you know, I watched it because it's like, you know, yeah. It was the only wrestling product on at the time, really. Well, I mean, AEW was doing stuff, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of wrestling to choose from at the time period.
Yeah, weird time. Weird time for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people are going to be looking through the history books like, what the hell was this?
Yeah. Anyway, so,
yeah,
I think Rock and Roman are beating Cody and Seth.
Yeah, you think we're gonna get the bloodline stipulation?
100%.
Oh yeah,
because I feel like they wouldn't want, like, I feel weird saying this, but I feel like The Rock wouldn't like allow himself to lose. I don't know.
Oh, 100%.
Just gives off those vibes. And he
said, "I'm not losing."
Yeah,
especially in a tag match where it's like, it's not for anything. It's just right. Like,
and plus it makes night two a little more spicy, gives it, you know, an extra layer of story. So,
right.
Kind of no reason to not, you know, to not have the bloodline end up winning this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, why would you bring back The Rock to have him lose?
Right. It would be kind of weird. Yeah, because technically The Rock isn't... This is the only match The Rock is wrestling in.
This is good. This guy's a billionaire. He's not He's not losing anything. Whether he loses in the match, he's still not losing.
Very true.
He's part, bought like $25 million worth of stock or whatever it was.
If they lose in the tag match, Roman's taking the pin.
I think that's very possible. Don't forget, wasn't he pinned last year for the first time in, what was it, 3 years or something like that? Yeah. In a tag match?
Yep. Like Civil War bloodline match?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's almost been a year, because that was at Night of Champions.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I just remember that place went absolutely crazy when that happened.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. So if Cody and Seth win, Roman's taking the pin, and if the bloodline wins, Seth's taking the pin.
Yeah, for sure. Because then maybe they can play that up for night two when Seth wrestles again.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's so those are the seven for night one. I guess we can just go around real quick and see which one each of us are the most excited for out of those seven from night one. Sam, do you want to start?
It's the six-pack ladder match.
Nice. Yeah, that's a very chaotic one, I'm predicting.
Oh, those are always fun.
Yeah. Josh, how about you?
I'm going to be basic and say the tag match to end the night.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Rick, how about you? Which one do you look
at? I am most excited for, I think, Gunther and Sami Zayn.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like
that's match of the night, right?
Yeah, match of the weekend.
Match of the weekend, even.
Yeah. I feel like that's just going to be like an absolute banger, to be honest with you.
Nice. Yeah. Personally, I'm very excited to see Jade and Naomi wrestling, so I'll pick the six-woman tag match against Damage Control with Bianca Belair.
Nice.
All right. I like that we all pick different matches.
Yeah. All big choices. I will say with mine, I'm excited to watch the 40 minutes of entrances.
imagine the entrances for the main event. It's going to be absolutely insane. So
mm-hmm. each guy is going to walk as slow as possible. 5 minutes for an entrance, and it'll be 20 minutes of entrances.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be wild.
Plus the long walk to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be crazy.
Absolutely. Just can't top it. All right, so now we got night two, and this one so far, again, card subject to change. There's only six matches on this one, so we'll start out here with the first one. It is a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. We got Seth Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre. And right off the bat, I don't know if this is the order that the matches will be, but putting this on as the first match after Seth is wrestling in night one in the final match with a really short turnaround time, I feel like Drew is going to win this.
I think no matter when this match is, Drew's winning this.
True. I think it's time.
There have been talks about how we don't know if he's re-signed his contract because it expires soon, but I think he's re-signed. I don't think they would have made Clash of the Castle in Scotland without him still being a wrestler, and especially not if he's not going to win the title on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
He deserves it. He has been must-watch television. And even must follow on social media ever since
his turn. He's just been so great.
It's basically been since the beginning of this year, even dating back to Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
He has been great. An absolute hater, and it's so entertaining.
Hear me out. Drew McIntyre wins the title at WrestleMania. Main event, Clash at the Castle against, I don't know, say Damian Priest. Bash at Berlin is later in the year. Main event, Gunther versus Drew McIntyre for the title.
That would be amazing. I feel like they're grooming Gunther at some point to go for that world title.
Yeah, I feel for like sure. He's gonna maybe never lose the IC belt, like he's gonna relinquish it and then go after Drew.
I mean, why not?
Because when they used to do that with the NXT guys when they went main roster, would relinquish the tag belts.
That would also it would. I don't know. I feel like that would make Gunther look stronger because he could basically be like, "I've beaten everybody, and the only people I haven't beaten are the ones who have another belt, and I only want that belt because I've made this belt like too good or whatever."
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it would, I don't know, it kind of make him look weak, but at the same time, it wouldn't have him lose. Like, he could still be unpinned for however long it's been.
Right.
That'd be cool. I hope that happens, because now that I've said it out loud, it's all I'm thinking about.
You're wishing it into existence.
Hey, Sam, we might still be hiring a writer. You could still apply.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'll get right on that.
So yeah, they I'm not changing my prediction on this match. I think, you know, it's very possible Seth will win. I wouldn't be surprised if Drew won, but I wouldn't be surprised if Damian also cashed in on this
night. Cash in. Yeah.
So for my prediction, I will change it to we're going to have a new world champion.
Yes.
At the end of WrestleMania.
If you look back when Drew actually held that belt twice, the world championship twice, was during COVID when they were just in empty arenas and all that other stuff. I don't think he got the fair share, the fair shake, if you will, went as champion.
Right.
Never really
he won it in an empty arena.
Yeah, he did. He never got to be the full, you know, the full blown competitor that he could be as champion.
And then didn't he lose it like the first show back with a full audience?
Didn't he do that, and then he won it back or something like that? Like, did he lose it to Orton for like a month and then win it back?
Is that was that still in COVID?
Was it?
He lost it to Bobby at night one of the Tampa WrestleMania.
Okay, my bad.
Okay. I think
it's gonna make me look this up. Jeez, I'm not quick with this stuff.
Yeah, I swear he had it. During COVID, because he beat Brock Lesnar at the No Crowd WrestleMania.
Yep.
And then, what the fuck was it? He lost it to someone for like a month and won it back.
I think it was, wasn't it Orton?
Yeah, Orton had a run during COVID, so it must have been Orton.
Yeah.
And then he held it until WrestleMania Tampa when audiences came back, because that WrestleMania was almost canceled by like a fucking hurricane or something.
Yeah, there was like bad weather. I think if you remember you watching the as they went live, they were like they had to postpone it. They were all there in like rain jackets and stuff like that, and they had to just waste time until the weather settled a little bit.
Yeah, because Swerve, when he's feuding with Joe, said if he takes the title off of him, he's going back to ponchos and WrestleMania. Because Joe was on commentary then.
Yeah.
And the show opened with him and Michael Cole in like those SeaWorld dollar ponchos or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh man.
On to the next match.
On to the next match.
On to the next one. So this is another singles match. This one is for the WWE Women's Championship. And we have the champion Io Sky defending it against Bayley. Who won the women's Royal Rumble to earn this match.
Bayley for the win. I don't think there's any question about this.
Bayley for the win.
Yeah, yep. 100%.
I think Bayley's winning, and I also think that this should have been one of the two main events.
I would agree.
I think I think maybe The Rock got a little greedy putting him his match with Roman as the night one headliner. I feel like it would have been fine if this was maybe night one headliner and then Roman and Cody was night two, but
right,
yeah, a bit unfortunate. But yeah, well, I think Bayley's winning it.
Royal Rumble winners always got the main event. Both the Royal Rumble winner matches are on night two.
Right. So
what's up
with that?
If they're not going to main event, then I feel like they should open the show because like.
True. Yeah. Like high energy. Very exciting. Yeah.
Everyone's excited to be there. Just got the pyro to start the show. And then, like, throw them out there. The crowd will just be, like, into it. Be just super into it. And
to quote one of my favorite wrestlers from childhood, the Hurricane. What's up with that?
Also, not to spoil the rest of the card, but this is the only women's match that we have in night two. So
wow,
interesting. That could change also.
True, card subject to change.
There's only six. Well, there's only six matches listed for this show, which means I feel like they're going to give Roman and Cody like a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right.
That's mostly Roman's entrance.
I feel like we're going to get a talk show, but I don't know who would be who. Like, everyone who has a talk show right now is in a match.
Well, here's a prediction that rumor, actually, is that Stone Cold Steve Austin may make an appearance at WrestleMania. So,
come on. That's going to be during the main event. He's part of the Cody Avengers. Come on.
Maybe. All right. It's very possible.
Uncle Howdy might make an appearance at WrestleMania.
I love it. But it feels rushed.
Too soon.
It It's too soon.
I just have to interject with something. I have on in the background New Japan Road to Sakura Genesis, and right now it is, I think it's pronounced Gedo, and Clark Connors taking on Kushida and Kevin Knight.
Jeez.
Kevin Knight has so much deodorant on, every time he moves his arm, you can just see big white splotches in his pit hair.
And that's like, your news today, folks.
Breaking I'm like sitting up here listening to you guys talk about the match, and I'm just like, in the back of my mind, like, that's a lot of fucking deodorant, Kevin.
He wants to make sure that he does not stink for his opponent, okay?
Yeah, very considerate of him to put on that much deodorant for the Bullet Club. Oh, man. Anywho.
Next match?
Next match. We got a singles match here. No belts on the line. No, nothing crazy. Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
May I introduce this one?
Go right ahead. I know you love him.
This is my main man. One of my newest favorites. We've got LA Knight.
Yeah.
AJ Flat Earther Styles.
Oh my god, we're going hell there.
Yeah. I saw someone put that on X, and I have to. It's my new favorite thing.
This is very funny.
That's pretty good.
Flew halfway around the globe that isn't a globe, according to him, to hit LA Knight in the back with a chair to make him lose Elimination Chamber.
Professional hater.
Professional hater.
Yeah, this is just a singles match between the two of them.
I feel like this could have had a stipulation.
Yeah.
Well,
I feel like it kind of might need one.
I don't know if it needs it, but it is. I feel like AJ's contract's coming up soon, and rumor is that he's not re-signing. Interesting. So that he either may retire or maybe he'll go on the. Kind of like the part-timer plan, because he's, I don't know, damn. I'd like to say he's getting older, but he's still younger than me by like a good 5 or so years. So, you know, and I think LA Knight's even older than that. So he's just, AJ's been doing it a lot longer, but I feel like LA Knight is going to be taking this one.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, we still have a SmackDown show, so these guys are both on SmackDown, I think. So
yes.
Anything could happen, so.
I think because of there being no stipulation, I could see this going no contest. Knight winning by disqualification.
Right.
Ooh, okay.
But if it doesn't, I see Styles winning, but this becoming a trilogy and them fighting probably again at Backlash, and then mm-hmm. maybe even culminating at another Premier Live event.
No, we use pay-per-view in this household.
No, we don't.
Definitely seems like they could be setting it up for a longer, you know, continuing storyline. I think regardless of who wins, you know, there's more to tell.
I heard Styles might be getting new entrance music at WrestleMania.
Oh no.
I couldn't think of a song with the words flat earth in it. I'm sorry, Josh.
It's okay.
I've been watching a lot of old school TNA because I have TNA Plus now, and Styles' entrance music when he was there, fucking banger. Oh my god.
Ba-ba-ba-banger.
Banger. I don't know. I want to see LA Knight win. I really do.
Yeah, I'll vote for LA Knight.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll predict him, I should say, not vote. anything else here? Are you guys ready for the next match?
I'm ready for the next match, brother.
Let's go.
All right. Next up, we got a triple threat match for the United States Championship, currently held by Logan Paul, and he'll be defending it in this triple threat against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. So a lot of stuff that got set up in Elimination Chamber for this match between these three guys.
You want to go, Sam?
No, I was just going to say, I wasn't excited about the Mania card really up until like this week, but the whole time this was one of the matches I was very interested in. I don't like him as a human being, but I think Logan Paul is very talented in the ring, and him versus Owens and Orton in a triple threat, I think this could be my match of the weekend.
Yeah. Whoa. All three of these guys are really good.
Yeah. I think that the build for this hasn't been great, but it's been good enough to get me really hyped for this. Like,
yeah,
they really haven't had, none of them have had, like, they haven't had a promo battle. They haven't really fought each other. It's just been cheap shots here and there. And it's been KO and Randy trying to trust each other, even though they know that they can't. Right. I think it would be really funny to see this match start how the one the heavyweight championship match started with Cena and DX, and have Randy like RKO KO like off the rip.
That'd be fun. Yeah, when Michael's Sweet Chin Music Triple H.
Yes, or have Owens Sweet Chin Music Orton.
That'd be great.
That would really play into like him like being crazy. Like, remember when he was banging his head on the plexiglass in the chamber?
Oh yeah,
that was great. And he was drawing little pictures in there.
This is a sidebar, but it has to do with Kevin Owens. Did you see he in an interview stated that he doesn't want to win the IC title ever again?
Yeah,
because across all his reigns with that belt, he's held the title the same number of days Owen Hart held it, and he wants to keep that like intact.
Wow. Oh wow!
Yeah, so it's like, oh wow, that's pretty cool.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And if He Who Must Not Be Named was still in charge, he'd give Kevin Owens a one-day reign.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Like when New Day held the belts long enough to break Demolition's record by like 2 days, and then they dropped it.
Yep.
Fucking.
That's as Demolition has heat with the WWE these days. They feel like they're. Something. Yeah, they think that they feel like they're owed a little bit more than they were over the years, and a lot more recognition.
Those sick fucks.
But, I think they named him in the class the lawsuit when it came into the concussions and stuff like that as well.
Oh, I thought we were doing the Vince McMahon one. I was like, oh shit, Demolition.
No.
Oh, good. Would I like to see another Randy Orton U.S. title reign? Yes. Would I like to see it at the expense of Logan Paul's U.S. title reign? No.
I agree.
Really? Wow.
I think Logan should stay champion until SummerSlam. I think he should hold it for a year.
And then defend it in Cleveland, maybe against The Miz, and it's like a battle for Cleveland.
Against The Miz, or like even maybe somehow Gargano, like somebody from the area.
Oh, I forgot Gargano's from there too.
Or don't have him defend it against someone from the area, and then have Logan be a face for PLE.
Oh,
fight against
pay-per-view.
Really?
That's interesting. Yeah, he'd be like the hometown favorite.
Yeah,
because like they let Logan announce on Impulsive that SummerSlam was in Cleveland this year, and like joking around, he was like, "I want to fight LeBron James." Like, okay, maybe make him battle fight for a King celebrity, of Cleveland. Like, former NWO member. Dennis Rodman or something. Who knows?
Right.
Oh, I think God. I'll predict Randy winning this one. I'll throw my hat in that camp.
Whoa.
I would like to see Logan retain, but I think Randy Orton U.S. title run is what the world needs right now.
Yeah. He's just at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sounds like,
I don't know.
Did you make a prediction yet?
Someone that we're not picking.
I think that it's going to be Logan Paul. Mm. Like I said, I think he's going to hold it for a little while longer. I think it makes, I don't know. I just don't see him losing anytime soon.
Yeah. He's got a good run going, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think his brother is going to interfere in this match, and then Mike Tyson will come out and make the save to promote that Netflix boxing match they're having?
That would be wild.
It's going to be KSI coming, making a comeback.
I think Logan's going to try to cheat during this, but it'll end up kind of screwing him over, but then it'll be a clean finish with Logan winning.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
predictions are in. Next up, this is the second to last one so far. It's the six-man Philadelphia street fight. So we got two teams of three. We got Bobby Lashley joining up with the Street Profits to form their group, The Pride. And they're going up against the Final Testament in a Philadelphia street fight.
I'm so fucking excited for this match.
Yeah. Anytime that they're, because it, what was it? Was there a like a the Pittsburgh like brawl fight that Sami Owens and or Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens had against the Judgment Day? That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like this could be, you know, equally as entertaining.
So Paul Heyman, the legendary voice of ECW, which started in Philadelphia, goes into the Hall of Fame this year. Imagine they have Paul Heyman, like, outside of being the wise man for the bloodline, come out and announce this match. Because it's in Philadelphia, the birthplace of Extreme. It is a Philly street fight. Paul Heyman's in the Hall of Fame. Bobby Lashley is a former ECW world champion.
That's really
that
a good idea.
That would go fucking nuts.
It would.
It'd be really cool.
I would go fucking nuts.
I love street fights so much, just like going around the arena, tons of weapons. It's always a fun time.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like straight up wrestling, always fun. Wrestling with a gimmick, more often than not, fun.
Yeah.
We gotta watch and see who's and keep track of who's legal for this. Cause I got a feeling it ain't gonna be the right people taking the pin.
You don't have to tag in and out for a street fight.
You don't?
No, it's going to be tornado rules.
Oh.
Hey, there we go.
Not me. I'm just a young buck. I don't know these things.
It's all right.
We're all here to
learn. Did you say young buck?
No.
Oh, my God. I knew you were an AEW guy. We're converting you.
I will say I am definitely excited for this match. I really like Karrion Kross's wrestling, but man has no aura, and because of that, he's probably going to win.
Rizless.
I feel like this is his first match on pay-per-view in his entire WWE run, not counting like NXT stuff.
You might be absolutely correct.
Yeah, I think you are.
And like AOP just like returned and then like very little happened with it, and then they have a WrestleMania match and it's like, oh, okay.
I think that Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits are going to win this just because I love Bobby Lashley.
I will say Karrion Kross and the AOP because I like Karrion Kross.
There you go.
My first introduction to Karrion Kross was, Rick, I know you have some opinions about the promotion, but Lucha Underground.
Yep.
There was like, I don't remember if it was the whole time, but they had these like talismans, and each guy would like win a talisman and it had an animal on it, and they would put them together to make a title belt, and it was called the Gift of the Gods Championship. And then whoever had that belt could like cash it in like a Money in the Bank.
Oh, that's fun.
And this whole time they were billing this group called the Rabbit Tribe, and they ended up being like Alice in Wonderland themed luchadors. And the leader of the group was the White Rabbit, and it was Karrion Kross wrestling in like all white and little sunglasses. And for you old school WWE fans, his tag team partner was the Mad Hatter, which was Paul London in a top hat.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was like, what is this? This Lucha Underground was bizarre, but it was fun.
All right.
Yeah. Josh, did you get your prediction in? Final Testament?
Yeah, I said Final Testament.
Nice.
Hell yeah. This is a thick-ass name. That's so badass.
It really is. Very foreboding. All right, and then main event for night two. We've arrived at the undisputed WWE Universal Championship title match. Roman Reigns defending, going up against Cody Rhodes. And depending on what happens night one, this has the potential to be a Bloodline Rules match.
Just like before we get into the meat and potatoes of this, I was at work two mornings ago, and this regular comes up to me, and he's wearing a Roman Reigns t-shirt. And we'd like briefly talked wrestling, and he comes through my line, and we're standing there talking about WrestleMania for like 20 minutes. I don't know this guy's name. I can't give him a shout out, but every time he comes in the store, he's like, "Hey, you checking out wrestling soon?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man." But he asked me, he was like, "I've been meaning to ask you, are you for finishing the story or are you like tribal through and through?" And I was like, "Dude, you're wearing a Roman Reigns shirt, but like, we got to finish that story, man."
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So my question is, if Rhodes and Rollins win and Bloodline's barred from ringside, we obviously know that they will still come out.
Oh, of course.
If they do come out and interfere and cause a disqualification, does Cody get the does Cody get the belt then? Still?
Dude, if he wins it on a DQ, that's gonna kind of be a letdown, I feel.
I mean, I don't think see a world where that happens. But just
title a hypothetical doesn't change hands on a DQ.
That's right.
I just know that they've had that stipulation before where like if you know if there's interference, the belt still changes hands. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what like barred from ringside ended up meaning for this. Because we know if Rhodes and Rollins win and the Bloodline's barred, they're still coming out. Like,
yeah, there's no stopping them. Yeah.
What if it's not the traditional Bloodline that comes out? What if it's a new Bloodline?
That is a prediction that if Bloodline, you know, is barred, banned, whatever you want to call it, there are other members that of the family that exist that Jacob Fatu is a free agent.
I mean,
which is so
be in Philly this weekend.
Yeah, and he's
GCW.
Yeah. So and there are rumors of them signing another family member. I forgot who at this moment.
Is it Zoa?
I think you might be right on that one. I think so.
Oh, shit.
And this was so they my guess is that they could always introduce another member of the Bloodline randomly, which I think is very, very possible. I am going with Roman on this one.
Oh,
wow.
I'm going to be the asshole here. I'm going to be the asshole here. I just have a feeling.
I value your opinion.
I
don't think I can this time.
I mean, it's just, there's just something there, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm not convinced about Cody being a world champion. I don't know. But I just feel like there's just something that they're trying to build Roman to be this particular guy. He's beaten, I think he's matched Hulk Hogan's record as of this week or something like that, his first title run. And it's very possible that they're going to build it to where he beats or even equals Bruno Sammartino's first title run.
Oh, God damn. That'd be crazy.
I have to disagree with you, sir.
I mean, that's fine to disagree. I'm just saying that that's what they've been trying to build him towards that.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like it's very possible.
I hear the argument of passing Hogan's record.
Yeah.
I think that Bruno's is just so far out of reach and just so untouchable at this time.
I mean, it's Bruno Sammartino, probably one of the greatest of all time. Exactly. So,
it's untouchable. It just feels untouchable.
I mean, in me, the way that they're hyping Roman up, I don't necessarily agree to it personally, because the guy can't win a match on his own. I mean, even lot of heels. I mean, just because Flair was a heel champion doesn't mean he always had the Four Horsemen in every single match help him win, defending his title. And I'm just using that as a single example. There's plenty of others that of heel champions that are able to win without cheating every single match. It's just, it becomes a little redundant. You know what I mean? It's just kind of boring, and it's just it's just the same thing over and over. I'm not saying that I'm for Roman necessarily as being champion forever, but I just feel like if they're trying to do what they're trying to do, and Roman is very big and popular at this time, I think that they finally got what they wanted out of Roman Reigns is from years of trying to build him as this particular professional wrestler, and I think it's finally working. So why take the belt off him now?
Okay. I like that. I like that reasoning better. But my counterpoint is that, you know, say he wins and he beats Hogan's record.
Right.
They're probably not going to let it. I mean, they're probably just not going to keep it on him till San Martino's record, because at some point it would get stale and it would just kind of drag the time down.
Pretty damn stale as it is, to be honest with you. So 20-minute ring entrance, you know, and then the bloodline
interfering
constantly. Yes. Oh, don't forget, I have there's another prediction I forgot to mention. I'm sorry, Josh, to cut you off, but I have a feeling that there is a very big possibility that Jey Uso may return to the bloodline. It's just a prediction. It's a loose prediction.
Interesting.
But, that he could be a member that jumps in and interferes on the night two. Just a thought. Not necessarily.
That is out of left field there.
Yeah, that's a shock. I know, but it's double just an opinion.
Jey Uso.
Yeah, exactly.
Just add another title before his name. Double agent main event Jey Uso.
It's just
some New Japan sounding name.
This guy with those funny sounding names. Yes.
Oh, Jesus, Rick.
I just think that if we're saying that San Martino is, in hypothetical sense, we're saying that San Martino's record is untouchable.
Yes.
What the hell does passing Hogan's record like mean? Like, who cares? It's number two. It's not number one. So it doesn't matter at that point. Like, unless, if Hogan's was number one, I would almost be leaning towards the side of, let him win, let him pass number one. But it's number two.
But he's also, like you said, like we said, like he's defended the belt way less than either of those guys have. And those guys did not need to cheat to keep that belt in every single match.
Yeah. So, like, it'd be cool to say, no, the number two guy did it in this modern era.
Yeah.
But I'm stuck on the fact that it's number two.
Yeah.
And I think it's number one or bust for Roman, and number one's probably not happening.
Okay.
So as much as it'd be cool to say he's number two, he wouldn't want to say, like, you know, he wouldn't want to say that. And he does, because he doesn't mention he's number three now.
Right.
So it just, I mean, it would just be a milestone that would be mentioned in passing, but I mean, it'd be another, how many more years until he'd pass Bruno?
I think Bruno's first title run was 7 years. And I think that, who are we talking about again? Oh, Roman, geez, has held it like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
At this point.
So.
It's just a different time nowadays. Like, there's no way you could have a 7-year reign.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I think that the build for this is for Cody to win. I think the fact that the writers listened to the internet and kicked The Rock out of the title match is leading. I think that's the big thing that makes me say Cody is that the internet, the fans wanted Cody in this match, because he won the Rumble, and you know, injuries happen, but this was the plan. This was set up last year. This has always been where it's heading for the last year, and for him to not win after an entire year of setup, it's got to be Cody, and I want Cody because he deserves it. He's the next Cena, and I don't know, and I think that Cena could even be there to pass the torch because he's rumored to show up. So if we're going Bloodline rules, and Cody needs backup, the Cody Vengers, as we're calling it, Cena's coming out to help him, and it's time. It's time to finish the story.
Yeah.
What if a fucking Undertaker shows up?
I was thinking that. That'd be wild. I literally was thinking that the other day. I was like, what if the Undertaker shows up?
Yeah, because Roman retired him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh shit, he wants revenge. He's like, you ended my winning streak, I'll end your title reign. Tombstone pile driver into a crossroads, into a Cody cutter, into an attitude adjustment.
And then he still takes a
leg drop. Crazy.
I'm agreeing with you, Josh. I think Cody's gonna win it. I think it's time. And even with Roman's run, like, even though he's not like setting a new record, it's still like extremely impressive. And you know, breaking a 4-digit consecutive like title reign, like anything over 1,000 is gonna go down in the history books as extremely impressive. There's nothing wrong with not breaking an 8-year reign, or even the second place reign, like you were saying. So, I don't see any issues with Roman losing. And also, I've been thinking too, like, you know, this guy, like, what if he just wants to retire, but he can't because they want to give him this insanely long run? He's just looking for a reason to be able to just step away.
He's like, I beat cancer twice. I don't want to be a wrestler anymore.
Right. He just wants to retire.
Cut me some slack. And they're like, no, you must.
They released the documentary, and like, the man still has to take oral chemotherapy every day.
Damn.
Wow.
That has to take a toll. It has to have been adding up. And that's why his days, you know, appearances have been dwindling. Mm-hmm. And it's just, he still performed at such a high level, but you have to imagine that it's almost time.
Yeah. Yeah. And for that reason, I'm voting for Roman. Just kidding. Yeah, I'm
Matt Sharps is why I'm asking for $700
with a 1% share.
I'm going Cody.
Sam's going Cody.
I don't think he's done a lot for the WWE, and he's a big name for them. I don't think he's at the level where he's going to be world champion just yet. But if he does beat Roman at WrestleMania, that is a damn good way to kick off a world title run. And I think if he beats Roman, that'll be like the final thing he needs to be considered and finally viewed as a world champion contender and someone capable of carrying that belt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I want to see Cody do it because I stuck with him through that whole Stardust thing, through AEW, and then not being able to be AEW world champion. And every time he flip-flopped the TNT title back onto himself, like, come on. I just want to see Cody win the big one.
It's time.
Like, he was Impact champion at one point and Ring of Honor champion, which are both world titles, but like, not to sound like an indie basher or a small company basher, like, let him win a big one, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Because, like, don't get me wrong. Like I said before, Ring of Honor was my favorite promotion for years. And, like, I love TNA and I love Impact. But Cody deserves this.
Yeah.
Last year was Infinity War. This year's Endgame. It's time to finish the story.
That's a really good analogy.
So,
I was going to say, do we want to go around and pick a match we're most looking forward to from night two from each of us? Do you want to start us off, Sam?
I will say the triple threat.
Nice.
Owens, Orton, and Logan Paul.
Nice. What about you, Josh?
I'm going to go with Io Sky versus Bayley.
Nice.
Good pick, good pick. Rick?
I'm going to go with the Seth and Drew.
Nice. Yeah. I'll pick the main event, Roman and Cody.
All right. Again, we all pick different matches.
It's not scripted. It's not scripted.
Yeah.
I'm predicting it's going to be a fantastic night or a fantastic weekend of professional wrestling. I will predict that much.
Not just WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much happening, even in just in Philly too, which will be cool.
It's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Absolutely,
oh, yeah. Yeah, brother. I do have some things I want to talk about with you gentlemen off camera.
So, okay,
sure
with
thing.
That, thank you once again for joining us in Slamtown. We look forward to putting out another episode for you guys.
Yeah, woo! And thank you again, Rick, for joining us.
Yeah,
thank you, gentlemen.
Here, buddy.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Anytime, dude. Doesn't just have to be a WrestleMania thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Josh started as a guest host, and now he's a regular.
There we go.
Well, and with that, goodbye, everyone.
Later.
Happy WrestleMania weekend.
Woo!